Are you marrying this guy because you're mad at me?
No, I divorced you because I was mad at you.
Aubrey, wait, I want to talk about this.
Well, what do you want to say?
Is this guy right for you? I mean, he's just so... not me!
Yes, that's one of his best qualities.
Yeah, but he's kind of... I'm sorry.
You're wrong. I mean, sometimes, maybe, yes, he is a little bit...
Magoo!
Yes, but since we've been going out... Oh, my God, I'm not having this conversation with
you. Aubrey, you can't go. This is not fair.
Fair? Okay, let's define fair, shall we? Last night, a 5-year-old boy was crushed because his father lied to him about coming to his birthday party. Fair?
Last night?
Was none of my business. None of my business. 2 years ago, it was my business. But see, I don't have to care about that anymore. I don't care. That's the magic of divorce. But it matters to Max. Everything you do matters to Max, and everything you don't.
All right, now let me tell you something. I'm a bad father. I mean, I'm a bad father.
You're not a bad father. When you show up.
What if I come over right after court lets out and play ball with Max? Then you and I can sit down and talk before you make any rash decisions.
No, we are leaving tonight.
Please, Aubrey, give me one more chance. I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. I lost you, but please, don't make me lose Max, too. Give me a chance to be the father I started out to be.
You're really coming?
This is ironclad. This is the mother of all promises. What time?
6.
10 to 6.
All right. But if I tell Max that you're coming and you don't show up, and I have to see that look on his face, that heartbreaking look, we're going to Boston.
If I don't show up, I'll pack you myself. I will lovingly wrap your knickknacks with bubble paper.
I hope so. Do you know what your son was doing at 8:15 last night? He was making a birthday wish that for just one day, his father couldn't tell a lie.
Well, I think everyone here has experienced what it feels like to have a promise being made to you and then it being broken. I don't need to ask you to raise your hand if you can relate to that clip. I don't need to ask you to think about an occasion when your heart was broken because a loved one, a friend, made a promise that they didn't keep. Broken promises hurt a lot. A lot of people say, well, you promised you'd love me. You promised you'd be there. You promised, but you never came through. As a matter of fact, I did some researching online, and there's actually a blog for people who have experienced broken promises. And it's just an opportunity for folks to be able to go on there and just kind of vent, just talk about this. Let me read some of these to you. You lied. You told me I would be happy. You lied. You told me things would be better. You lied. You told me that you would be nicer. You still lied. You broke your promises and you don't care. You said I was nothing. But still, the truth is you lied. If I said you were nothing, then where's the promise? And it keeps going. It's really long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. Here's another one. I need a constant reminder. Anytime someone makes me a promise, not to listen. Not to listen. About a month ago, I was on the phone with someone who was writing me about what I want for Christmas, and I finally found something, and they told me they would wire the money to me. And Christmas came along. No money. My husband, he always breaks promises to me. Sweetheart, I promise I'll have the bathroom finished before the baby comes.
How come you guys chuckle more at that one, huh? The baby's a year old. Sweetheart, I won't drink anymore. Yet he got fired from his job because he was drunk. You promised me things I only dreamed about. I thought this was my time, my story, my happy ending. And I'm just getting tired of constantly picking up the pieces of broken promises over and over and over again. And that's just a few. I mean, we can all relate to broken promises. But the fact is, this morning, church, friends, if you're visiting from our community, I want to tell you something this morning. God wants to tell you something this morning. And it's real simple. And here it is. God is a promise keeper. And he doesn't fail to keep his promises. Period. Like, really, we could just wrap up right now and go home. God is a promise keeper, and he doesn't break his promises, not one. As a matter of fact, Acts 2:38, right? We were there last week. We're going to be in Acts 2:39 this week. And so if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open to Acts 2. But Acts 2:38-39, there's a promise there, right? He says, Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all those who are far off, all those whom our Lord our God will call. Last week we talked about God sending a gift to us, his Holy Spirit. He's not just a gift, he's a promise as well. And it's connected to Acts 1:4. If you've got Acts and you're in there, kind of close to it, go to Acts 1:4 and you'll see that the promise is there too. And this is Jesus saying, he's saying, listen, the Father, God, is promising you something. He's promising you a gift, and it's the Holy Spirit, and he's coming. But the promise actually even goes back a little bit more. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, we got it up on the screen. Which of you fathers, this is Jesus speaking, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, I'm sorry, I got to stop there. Like, my daughter Emma loves eggs. She could eat four of them for breakfast. She loves eggs, sunny side up. How do you like them? Scrambled, omelet? They're good. I can't imagine little Emma asking me for eggs and me giving her a scorpion. Just picture that. It's almost bizarre. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's the promise. God is saying, I promise I will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. I'm not going to give you a scorpion. I'm not going to give you a rock or a snake. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. God promises the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I feel like we think Jesus is just kind of kidding here. Like Jesus is just kind of joking around here. Sometimes we take a lot of God's promises that we can kind of put our finger on and wrap our mind around, and we can embrace those, but some of the promises of God that we can't embrace and we can pinpoint and figure out, we just kind of push off to the side. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, this is not a joke. He is not kidding. And it's not just for the first century church. If you're a baptized believer in the name of Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit this morning, you have got the promise. And he's not going to break it at all. The Holy Spirit is living in us and changing us. We talked about that last week. God is a gift giver, and that changes everything. But there's more. There's more. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We're going to dive in around verse 12.
visitor, if you're just kind of visiting with us this morning, you don't have a Bible, you're trying to figure out this whole Bible thing. Romans is a book in the New Testament written by Paul. Paul was a missionary, an apostle. He met Jesus on the road to a city called Damascus, and God begins to work through Paul to plant churches and through the pen to write the word. And this is what we're reading. We're reading this book, this letter that he writes to the church in Rome, to those who are meeting in Rome. And listen to what he says, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Here we go. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. We have a duty, a responsibility, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Man, that's a mouthful right there. Paul's got a mouthful of stuff, just good stuff for us to chew on. And that's what we're going to chew on this morning. And so my goal this morning for you is to kind of take this Romans 8 passage and unpack it a little bit, unpack it like layer by layer, just kind of unfold. And at the end of the day, hopefully not at the end of the day like 6 o'clock, but maybe in 30 minutes or so, all right, don't worry. You're probably going, oh man, I got lunch plans. We're gonna end up somewhere where hopefully you'll see the Spirit of God. If you live, Paul says, you're going to die. If you live, you're going to die. And if you die, you're going to live. See, if you're in this life thinking, man, I got to live it up. I got to live it up because this is only one life to live, right? And I got to go for it. I got to go for the gusto, right? I got to, you know, YOLO, right? Nobody says YOLO anymore. That's so lame. I'm sorry. You know, like, I got to live it up. If you don't know what YOLO means for those 40 and up, you only live once. I'm 40, so I'm not cracking on you, okay? I know those terms a little bit because I have a teenager, all right? And I was just a youth minister for 15 years. But see, you only live once. That concept is not going to get you anywhere because if you live, you die. That's what Paul is saying. If you live by the sinful nature, you're going to die. But if you live by the Spirit, well, you're going to live. But here's the catch. In order to live, you got to die. In order to live, you must die. Actually, Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39, Jesus touches on that. He's talking about commitment, and he's talking about following him. And he says, look, if you want to follow me, you got to lose your life for me. If you lose your life for me, you'll find it. But the thing is that we're constantly trying to look for our lives in places where Jesus is not. And so Paul's saying, man, if you keep living for the sinful nature, you're going to die. But if you die, you're going to live. If you put to death the misdeeds of the body. Did you hear what Paul said? Putting to death the misdeeds of the body. How hard is that? Like, how hard is it if you're an alcoholic to be able to not think about alcohol? How hard is it for somebody who's addicted to pornography to not want to look at pornography? How do you put to death the misdeeds of the body? He says it. Through the promise, Holy Spirit. You see, we cannot do life alone. We cannot do life on our own, thinking that we're going to make it. We can't say, you know what? Well, I'm going to go ahead and beat this drug addiction thing.
I'm going to go ahead and beat this marriage divorce thing. You know, I've only been married 4 or 5 times. Next time, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to beat this weight thing. I'm just going to get on another diet. I'm just going to watch another Dr. Phil show. I like Dr. Phil. See, Oprah ain't going to do jack for you. I'm just saying. I love Oprah, too. She's making a lot of money. But she ain't going to do jack for you. You better start talking to God. You better start asking for the Holy Spirit, because if you don't, we are not going to be able to do it on our own. I'm sorry, I'm just speaking candidly, right? Maybe it's just the Spirit speaking, I don't know, but I'm just speaking candidly with you. Like, young people, like, you got to stop looking at, like, all these, everything is like a 7 habits of highly effective. Like, just pick up a book. There's 7 habits, 3 keys, 5 steps, like, to better life. Better life is found in the Spirit of God. It's only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, you know, you're being led to this. You're being led to this. The Spirit is leading you to put to death your sinful nature. And the reality is that being led by the Spirit is uncomfortable, is inconvenient, difficult, and even painful. You remember Jesus being led into the wilderness? Remember right before he kicked off his ministry, he's 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he's fasting and praying, and he's getting ready for his ministry, and then there's the temptation of Satan, right? Do you know who leads Jesus into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to lead you into places where you really don't want to go? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to begin to lead you to do things in your life that you really never thought you could have, that are probably a little painful? Like, right, maybe in school, maybe to speak to the person in your classroom that's sitting next to you that you know is lost, that you know is going to parties, that you know is going to eventually die if they keep living this way? I don't know if this mic is on. Are we on? Okay. Getting a little bit more volume. I don't want to yell as much. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, the Holy Spirit is doing something. The Holy Spirit is trying to do something and lead us somewhere. And the fact is that we resist a lot of the times. You don't know how many times I've driven past somebody that's just really needed some help. Maybe somebody who's homeless. I just got to be somewhere. You ever felt like that calling? Like, I just got to be there. Like, I just got to be with that person. I got to minister to them. I got to be there. But, I only have a 20. I don't have change. Man, maybe they have a credit card swipey thing. I'm being really facetious, right? But you see what I'm saying? The Spirit is leading us to things, and the fact is that we keep resisting a lot of times. And church, until the church gets this, until the church says, yes, Holy Spirit, lead us into the neighborhoods. Lead us into the places where are the most darkest. Lead us, lead us, lead us. We're just going to be stuck. We're just going to be stuck. The apostles, man. They were led by the Holy Spirit. Remember the first century church? I mean, how it grew? 3,000 people were baptized in one day. And I know what you're saying. You're going, man, but the Holy Spirit's miraculous powers were over the apostles. They were speaking in tongues. They were doing amazing things. And 3,000 were added. That same Spirit that lives in them lives in us. And the church grew and grew and grew. You know why? Not because the apostles. You know who was actively engaged in the conception and the growth of the church in Acts? Everywhere you read it, from Acts 1 all the way to the end, guess who? The Holy Spirit of God. Is he in our church today? Because if he ain't, we ain't going nowhere. The apostles were led by the Spirit. They lived out of power in the Holy Spirit. It was evident in their work, right, and in their witness, the things they did and how they witnessed about Jesus. How many times we hear Peter proclaiming, right, no, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep proclaiming Jesus. And Paul, right, just proclaiming Christ. No matter what happens, we're going to keep proclaiming Christ. We're going to keep witnessing Christ and doing the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Man. We should be tired. We should be tired of living like people who don't seem to have God's Holy Spirit in them. We should. Because there's something even more precious that the Holy Spirit brings as a promise from God. Yes, he's leading us to a lot of different things. He's leading us to change. He's leading us to courage and boldness. But he's also leading us to becoming sons and daughters of God. That's what Paul's saying in Romans 8. And the fact is that when we embrace that Jesus bled on the cross for us, and we allow the Spirit to lead us, we become sons and daughters of God. That's what Paul is really trying to communicate in this. There's a promise. God is a promise keeper, and the promise is that through his Holy Spirit, you and I have sonship. That's the word he uses, and we're going to unpack that word in just a little bit. We have sonship, sons and daughters of God. And because of that sonship, there are three beautiful things that happen. Three things. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. Here's the first one. The promise of the Holy Spirit sets you free from fear. It sets you free from fear. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, if you're a slave to the sinful nature, you're going to be a slave to fear. But that's not what the Spirit is promising. The Spirit is promising a spirit of sonship. Being a son and being a slave is a completely different thing. Being a Christian is not about keeping a religious code, but about a relational connection. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul's speaking to a group of Christians in Rome who are mainly Gentile, but there are some Jews. And Paul, throughout chapters 1 all the way through 7, he's referring some to the law. And he's saying, don't go back to the law. You're not a slave again to the law. It's not about keeping a religious code anymore. You've been freed through Jesus, through his bleeding, and through the Spirit's leading. You're free. So if you're thinking that Christianity is about checking a box off, if you're thinking that Christianity is about coming into this building and just saying, hey, I made it. God, take a look at me. If you're thinking that Christianity is about, hey, God, I had my 3 prayers today, so take a look at me. Or I read my Bible today. God, aren't you proud? Won't you pat me on the back, God? That's not Christianity. Or about how much you gave, how many life groups you attended, whether you made it to church every single time the doors were open or not. I heard somebody say that If faithfulness was gauged by our attendance to the church building, the cockroaches would be more faithful, right? Guess I'm not implying that we have roaches. Neither am I implying that attendance doesn't mean a thing. Don't get me wrong. We need to be communing with the saints. We need to be together with God's people. The fact is, we don't serve a law. Jesus didn't give us another law to keep, but he gave us grace to breathe in and be able to breathe out. I want you to do this with me. Just take a deep breath in. See how good that is? That's what God's given us. Not a moral law to keep or an ethical guideline to keep, but grace to breathe in and breathe out. Grace to take and to give. We were once separated from God. Separated by sin, but now as sons we have a closeness with God that is beautiful. Before there was enmity, now there's intimacy. A closeness that you and I can't describe. We talked about it last week, remember? We said God wants to get real close. He wants to come in the house and put the bags down, right? And stay for a while. In you. Through His Holy Spirit. Number two. God promises the Holy Spirit so you can have intimacy with the Father. God promises the Holy Spirit so that you can have intimacy with the Father. That's why the Holy Spirit came. The promise is, I want to be close. And I promise you a closeness with me that nothing else can provide other than my Spirit. Other than my Spirit. And so that word sonship really means adoption. Like you've been brought in to a family that you really don't belong in, but you've been brought in. You've been adopted by God into His family through the death of His Son and through the working of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the beautiful Trinity of God working? And this is the family we belong to with God the Father. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. I love what Jesus says here. Listen, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in what? You. I will not leave you as what? What's the word? Orphans, I will come to you. Don't you love the fact that God thought so much of you and I that He said, I'm not going to leave them alone. I want to bring them into my family. I want to bring them into the kingdom where we cry out, Abba. Abba, Father, Father. I remember the first time my firstborn said, Daddy. Do you? Do you remember when your firstborn said, Daddy or Mommy? For the first time. Man, my heart melted. I couldn't even explain it. The intimacy, the closeness, the love, the affection, the relationship. By her just saying, Daddy. And so this Spirit of God that's working in us and living in us cries out to God for us and says, Daddy. You know, and when my kids are sick or they're hurting and they cry out, Daddy. That's the Father we have. We have Him there through the Holy Spirit so that you can cry out, Father. I mean, without Him, we'd be orphans, but He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will adopt you. And in that adoption, there's a declaration that happens. Really, Paul talks about it. He says, the Spirit of God and our spirit are witnessing together, right? Are testifying together, are witnessing the declaration of the adoption. Like, the papers are getting signed. Like things are getting stamped. Like, things are being finalized. Things are done. Because God's Spirit and our spirit are both testifying to that. They're both in agreement to that. Is your spirit today witnessing alongside the Spirit of God through the work of the Holy Spirit and the witnessing of the Holy Spirit? You look at Acts 1 and you look at what the Holy Spirit did. There was work He did through His people, and there was witnessing that He did through His people in Acts. And so, fast forward, press the fast forward button, a couple of thousand years, engage that in your life. Is the Spirit of God and your spirit declaring the adoption by how you're working and how you're witnessing, your actions and your words? I can't answer that for you. Paul poses the question. You know, when Isaac was born, they said, man, he looks just like you. I think he still does. Some people still say, man, he looks just like you. And I'm going, poor boy. Uh-oh, he's in trouble. But this resemblance that we have declares something about who we are. The resemblance that Isaac has to me says, as we witness together, he is my father and I am his father and he is my son. We can't go too far without people saying, man, that's your son, huh? Yeah, that's my son. Yeah. There's a resemblance. There's a declaration happening. The promise, and this is the last one right here. The promise of the Holy Spirit offers you a better future. The promise of the Holy Spirit offers you and I a better future. If you've got the Bible still there, go to Galatians 4. We're just going to read a few verses, and then we'll be wrapping up. Galatians chapter 4. Two verses that we're going to read, verses 6 and 7. Because you are sons, you've been adopted, right? God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, right? You're no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to rule-keeping religiously. But you are a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. An heir. Man, church, I'm telling you, there's something good that's coming. There is. Something good is coming for you and for me. And for those in whom the Spirit of God resides. Because we're not just sons. Man, we're heirs. We're heirs. Something great is coming. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but for that good thing to come, that means that death has to happen. I get that. But the death has already happened. Don't you understand? My dad's worked many, many years in Costa Rica trying to get his hotel, you know, kind of being a success to some degree, and it has. He's done a lot of work, and man, it's he's very proud of it. And for the first time, a few weeks ago, he said to me, he said, hey son, this hotel and everything that I've worked for here will one day be yours. You know, but at first I was like, woohoo! But then, I didn't like the sound of that. But in Christ, we need to understand that Jesus has already paid the price for the promise. And it makes us heirs. It means we're going to inherit something. It means we're going to receive something. Something good is coming, church. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7 talks about that, that as sons, man, we're going to receive something wonderful. And I'm not going to go to that text right now because of time, but I just want to say this to you. The promise of the Holy Spirit for you, for me, for your kids and their kids, and for all those who are far off is a promise that brings us to an intimate relationship with God. And this morning, you're either in a relationship with God or you're not. This morning, you've either embraced the grace of God or you haven't. And the truth is that no matter what church you go to, you're going to walk through doors, these and another church's doors, and one thing will be the same. There'll be trouble in your life. And so to who are you going to cry out, Abba, Father, in the time of trouble? There will be suffering in this world, but God is a promise keeper. And He doesn't fail to keep His promises. So how do you tap into this promise? That's the so what. So what, Carlos? God's got a great promise. How do I receive this promise? We read in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all those who are far off, and all whom our Lord our God will call. He's promising you something. Will you take it? That's your call to make. This morning in a room this size, I know there are people who are wondering, who are thinking, Lord, can I really call you Abba, Father, right now in the state that I'm in? Am I in a relationship with you? I'm going through so much pain. I haven't called you Father in a long time. Well, you know what? God gives you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So this morning you have an opportunity. We're going to sing a song. Customarily we'll sing a song, and if you've got a need, if you just desire prayers, or if you just want to say something, or if you want to come up here and talk to one of our elders or ministers and say, hey, I'd like to study more about Jesus, and I'd like to study more about this church, or even about the Holy Spirit. I need, I'm hungering. You can do that, okay? And so I'm going to ask Garth to go ahead and stand. Friends, visitors, thank you for being with us this morning. And church, may God be with you. May He bless you and may He smile upon you as He lives in you. Amen.